Chapter 4. Lou meets Will. I stood in the middle of the room. Will continued to look out of the window. "Would you like me to make you a cup of tea?" I said at last.
"Ah, the girl who makes tea," he replied. "No. No, thank you, Miss Clark."
"Well, can I get you anything?" He turned around to look at me through his untidy hair. He had a lot of hair on his cheeks, and he needed a shave. Then he turned away without speaking. "I'll see if there's any washing," I said. I found some dirty bedsheets and put them in the washing machine. Then I vacuumed around the two bedrooms. One bedroom was almost empty, like a hotel room. But Will's room had lots of photographs in it. There was a picture of him bungee jumping, and another of him climbing a mountain. Then I saw one with his arm round a girl who wore sunglasses and had long blonde hair. I knelt down to look at it.
"France, 2.5 years ago," said a voice.
I got up quickly to see Will sitting outside the bedroom door and looking at me. "I'm sorry, I was just..."
"You were just looking at my photographs," he said. "You were thinking, how could he go from that wonderful life to being disabled?"
"No,
but I felt my face go red." "There are more photographs in the cupboard, if you want to see them," he said. And then he turned the wheelchair to the right and disappeared.
The morning passed very slowly. I tried to find jobs to do and stayed away from the living room. At 11 a.m., I took Will some water and gave him his pills. He swallowed the pills and then said he wanted to be alone. The kitchen was already clean, but I cleaned it again. Nathan came at 12:30 p.m. and I went out for half an hour. I walked around the streets and breathed the cold winter air. Then I rang my sister. "Trina, he hates me," I said.
"I can't believe that you're already thinking about leaving," replied Trina.
"He's unhappy. He's in a wheelchair. Just talk to him, Lou. You can't leave. We need the money." She was right. But then she was always right. Sometimes I hated my sister.
"So, would you like to go somewhere?" I said after Nathan left.
"I could drive you." Will turned his face towards me.
"Where?" he asked.
"I don't know," I replied.
"What will we see?" he asked. "Some trees? Some sky? Do you think that going outside will be good for me?"
"I don't know. I..."
"Miss Clark, my life will not get better because you drive me somewhere," he said. And he turned the wheelchair away from me. I was silent for a moment. Then I said,
We have to spend a lot of time together. Could you tell me more about yourself? What do you want to do? What do you like? Then I could help you more. Finally, the wheelchair turned round again.
Here's what I know about you, Miss Clark, he said slowly. You talk a lot. Can we agree something? Can you not talk a lot near me?
I swallowed and felt my face go red. Fine, I said, when I could speak again. I'll be in the kitchen. If you want anything, please call me. 2 weeks passed, and we slowly started a routine. I always arrived at Granta House at 8 a.m. Then, after Nathan finished helping Will to put on his clothes, I turned on the television or radio for him and gave him his pills. Then I washed and cleaned around the annex, and I went into the living room every 15 minutes to check on him. Usually he was sitting in his chair and looking out at the garden. Later I gave him water and gave him food with a spoon. He hated me doing this and never looked at me. In the afternoon, I usually put on a film for him, but he never wanted me to watch it with him. He was horrible to me, and I often felt stupid. I began to hate the job, but I knew that my family needed the money, so I stayed. Sometimes Mrs. Traynor came in and said, "Everything all right?" I always said, "Yes." Then she always looked at Will, but he never looked at her, and often did not answer her questions. Will's father, who was a large, kind man, usually came home when I was leaving. His last job was in a bank in the city of London, but now he looked after Stortford Castle. He finished work every day at 5 p.m. and came to the annex to watch some television with Will. One morning, a man and woman came to see Will. The woman had long legs and blonde hair, and she was posh and beautiful. Her clothes and bag looked very expensive. Then I looked at her more closely and saw that she was the woman in the photograph in Will's bedroom. She kissed Will on the cheek. "You look well," she said. "You really do." "New chair?" asked the man, and he hit the back of Will's wheelchair. They asked him a few more questions, and then there was a difficult silence. I went to put some more wood on the fire. Finally, Will said, "So, why have you come to see me? It's been 8 months." "Oh, I know. I'm sorry," said the woman. "I've been very busy with my new job at Sasha's dress shop in Chelsea. I called a few times. Didn't your mother tell you?"
"And I've been very busy at the office," said the man. Everyone went silent again for a minute. Then the woman said,
"Actually, Rupert and I came, Because we have some news. We're getting married.
I stood up slowly from the fire and looked at Will. His face did not move.
I know it's a shock, the woman continued. It only started a long time after.
I'm very happy for you, Will said suddenly, but he did not smile.
Will, I know what you're thinking, the woman said quickly. But we really didn't plan this. Rupert helped me so much after...
That was good of him, Will replied angrily. Rupert suddenly moved forward. Look, Will, we're only telling you because we care about you. Life goes on. It's been 2 years now. You must want Lyssa to have a good life. Will did not answer. Come on, Lyssa, Rupert said. We should leave.
The two people started to move slowly towards the door. When they were gone, I went into the kitchen and made a cup of tea that I did not want. I waited for a few minutes and then went back to the living room, but Will was not there. Then I heard the sound of breaking glass. I turned and ran into his bedroom. He was turning his wheelchair and moving it side to side, and he was knocking the pictures onto the floor with his knees. He heard me enter, and his chair turned on the bits of glass. His eyes met mine in a long, angry silence. I hope your wheels are okay, I said finally, because there isn't a garage near here. His eyes became bigger. I thought that he was going to shout at me, but then suddenly he smiled. Don't move, I said. I'll get the vacuum. The King's Head pub was busy that evening. I sat with Patrick and his friends from the running club, and I drank my wine. The others were drinking orange juice. Phil ran 15 miles today, one of them said. He couldn't even walk at the end of it. It was very cold outside, but Patrick was wearing a t-shirt. His body was hard and strong. I could feel the other men looking at my body and thinking that I needed to train too. It was awful, I said to Patrick. His girlfriend and his best friend.
But you can understand it, replied Patrick. He's in a wheelchair. And you say he's horrible to you. Maybe he was horrible to her too.
I don't know. I thought of the picture of them both together. They looked like they were very happy before the accident. But Patrick wasn't listening.
Hey, Jim, he said, did you try that new bike? Any good?
After a few minutes, he went to buy me another glass of wine. When he came back, he said,
what do you think about going on holiday?
A holiday where? I replied.
Spain? He said, looking excited. So I can do a triathlon in August. 60 miles on a bike, 30 miles of running, and a long swim in the sea.
I've just got a job that is only for 6 months. I shouldn't ask Will's mother for a holiday, I replied. But I was also thinking How strange my boyfriend was now. Before he became a personal trainer, Patrick worked in an office and ate lots of chocolate. I liked him better then. "You can do the triathlon with me," he said. But we both knew that he did not believe it. "No, you do it. I'll sit by the pool," I said. And then I ordered myself some cake.